From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Noah Adams.
And I'm Linda Wertheimer. The United States Supreme Court opened its new term today with a nod to the events of September 11th and a rebuke to former President Clinton. NPR's Nina Totenberg was in the courtroom this morning as the justices took the bench. Nina, did it feel any different than usual?
Well, I'd have to say yes and no. There's a lot more security now at the courthouse. The likes of me, who's been covering the court for about 30 years, now has to go through a metal detector to get in the courtroom. And this morning, the Chief Justice informally announcing the opening of the term took special note of the terrible loss of life on September 11th, the heroics of so many people in responding. And on behalf of the court, he extended special condolences to Solicitor General Ted Olson, whose wife Barbara died in the plane that crashed into the Pentagon. And the Solicitor General is, of course, the government's chief advocate in the Supreme Court. But after making those announcements and remarks, the court moved on to its usual business, issuing orders, denying review to about 2,000 cases that had been appealed over the course of the summer, and issuing routine disbarment orders.
Now, one of those disbarment orders was not exactly routine. It involved former President Bill Clinton, right?
Yeah. You may remember that just before he left office, President Clinton reached something of a plea bargain with the independent counsel to end the Monica Lewinsky investigation. And under that plea bargain, he agreed to having his license to practice law in Arkansas suspended for 5 years, and he paid a $5,000 fine, all for testifying falsely in the course of the Paula Jones case. So now what happens is that that automatically goes to the Supreme Court of the United States. So when they got this information, they issue routinely an order that says he's going to be disbarred from the practice of law before the Supreme Court, and he's got 40 days to show cause why he shouldn't be disbarred.
So is he barred from practicing before the Supreme Court now?
Well, apparently, his lawyers are going to make the argument, which they say they've never had the chance to make because of the plea bargain, that he shouldn't be disbarred, that he never should have been even suspended, that under Arkansas practice, a 5-year suspension was disproportionate, and that he shouldn't be disbarred from the Supreme Court either.
Could he resign from the Supreme Court bar and just make all of this go away?
Well, he could, but at least initially, Mr. Clinton appears to have made the decision to fight disbarment as a blot on his escutcheon, and to perhaps have the penalty reduced to a suspension that runs along with his Arkansas bar suspension. Now, the chances of that, I have to tell you, Linda, I think are remote, but the plan right now is to try.
Would the court have voted on something like this?
Well, I doubt very much that they would vote. They likely will take some sort of a vote if Mr. Clinton goes ahead with his plan to argue that he shouldn't be disbarred, but at least as of now, it seems to me very unlikely.
If Mr. Clinton is disbarred, does that mean he can never practice again before the Supreme Court?
Well, let's first say he's virtually never practiced law, although he was the Attorney General of the state of Arkansas, and nobody expects him to want to make a living that way. But theoretically, once his suspension is over in Arkansas and he becomes a member in good standing of the Arkansas bar again, he could reapply for membership in the Supreme Court bar, and if he's a member in good standing and pays his dues, which is a small amount, he at least theoretically could be readmitted to practice law in front of the Supreme Court.
Nina, looking ahead, what else is the court going to be doing?
Well, one thing it's not going to be doing, at least as of now, is any sort of a case that remotely smacks of national security. The court today even declined to review a racial profiling case that might have presented some of the issues likely to occur in the coming months. Instead, the issues before it are what we might call domestic cases: affirmative action, the death penalty, school vouchers, pornography involving children on the Internet, those sorts of things.
Thanks very much, Nina.
Thank you, Linda.
NPR's Nina Totenberg.